Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/know-how and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Previously on Know-How, a bunch of maker stuff and drones!
Don't get it caught in my hair.
Welcome to Know-How, episode 389.
Where was I the last 380 episodes?
Watching and learning, obviously.
Yes, learning so very much. Now we're here to teach you.
Yes, this is a new season, season 4. So this is 12 weeks of Internet of Things.
Right, 12 weeks of a new storyline, new plot holes, new characters to love and hate.
What are the plot holes?
I don't know, but... So, you know, sometimes writers, they go on strike.
Yeah, that's true.
Things happen. We've all watched Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
We have, anyway.
Yeah. I stopped after a while. It got pretty hard. So, this is our show. This is our show. What are we talking about this season?
Also, we should say who we are.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case. I'm Megan Maroney.
I'm Florence Ion. That's who we are.
That's who we are. What we're going to be talking about is IoT, Internet of Things.
The smart home. Mm-hmm. The smart connected home, the dreaded phrase that scares pretty much 70% of the general populace. That's just a number I made up, but considering, you know, my own anecdotal evidence, it seems whenever you mention Internet of Things, connected things, people go, oh.
Well, and I'm excited that, as I don't know if you noticed, but we're both women.
Yes.
And I think it's delving into this. I've learned that it's really powerful to have that kind of control. Obviously, like women, we're, you know, the head of our household. We both have partners who know a little bit less about this stuff than we do, I would say.
My partner works in tech. He's, okay. But he doesn't mess with any of this stuff.
Okay. My partner is a history teacher, and he hates all of this stuff. So it gives us a sense of control. So I think whether you're male or female, I think it's nice to have a little bit of control over your tech instead of your tech controlling you.
Not to mention, you know, we can't afford, like, we're not going to go out and remodel our homes all the time. But maybe what might help spruce things up is a connected lamp, you know. Something that really helped me, for instance, is I'm a person who suffers from migraines, which really sucks. But I found smart bulbs really help with that because I get to adjust the temperature of the light. I get to adjust the color. I get to adjust how bright it is. I get to create little scenes for myself that really help. Really, there is some, like, wellness. There is some wellness to factor in here as well when we talk about these things. Not to mention having, like, a robot vacuum. I mean, if you've got a cat who spews litter out on the floor like mine does, you don't want to deal with cleaning that every single week. Mm-hmm. We're busy. Mm-hmm. We're busy people. I mean, this is the world we live in. We got to work, 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 right? So that's why we got to put little robots to work for us to do things that we don't have time to do.
Exactly.
Quite frankly.
I agree. And so you're a cat person. I'm a dog person.
Yes.
You're an Android person. Mm-hmm. I'm an iOS person. Mm-hmm. Right now, at the beginning of this 12 weeks, we still like each other a lot. Hopefully, we still will at the end.
I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
I think we'll be fine. Because the thing about you and I is that, you know, we share a lot of knowledge between the two of us. I oftentimes have no idea what to do in this Apple world of things. Like, I don't, you know that way more than I do. Whereas I'm like, you know me, fully ingrained in the whole Google ecosystem of everything, so.
And I think the smart home and all of IoT is interesting because a lot of Apple stuff Android users can't necessarily use. You're left out of iMessage and FaceTime and all these other things. But with the smart home, I think we're on an equal footing.
Yep.
Like, and sometimes you're ahead. Like, Google Home can do a lot more, in my opinion, than... I definitely think it can do a lot more than HomeKit.
Yes.
And so I use a lot of Amazon stuff, Alexa stuff, which brings us...
Which brings us, yes. This is great segue, Megan.
I just said her name, she who will not be named.
It who will not That will not be named.
Okay, we're also not going to take the gender out of our
devices.
Yes,
we're not genderizing any voice assistants on this show. But we do need to come up with a sort of phrase because we don't want to trigger your stuff at home. I know sometimes I do that on All About Android and I'm really sorry. Sometimes I've done it on the new screensavers and I'm really sorry. But we've got to come up with something. So I proposed to Megan that we would come up with it on the fly so you can watch this all organically take place.
Okay, so you said no gender, and that's going to be hard for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say my two favorite non-gendered names, Sam and Alex.
Oh, that's good. Oh. Yeah, but I'm worried if Alex is going to sound too much like...
Oh, Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. We just triggered.
Okay. Well, the thing is, you can say it, and maybe it'll stop your device, and I apologize for that. But it's not going to, like, we're not going to say it and then say, you know, order diamonds.
What about Hey Albuquerque, or Albuquerque?
Albuquerque.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then I could do Hey Go-Gurt.
Oh, you like said it was on the fly, but I feel like you've maybe been thinking about
that. I was thinking about it while you were talking. Sorry. Going.
Go-Gurt in Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Okay. How so we've got Sam and Alex or Go-Gurt in Albuquerque, which I really like.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a vote.
Yeah, let's have a vote.
We'll put it up on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll put it up on Twitter. Okay. Just tweet us. Sam and Alex or Go-Gurt and Albuquerque. You decide. I don't think we're going to come up with one for Siri. I feel like Siri is.
Okay, so Go-Gurt and Albuquerque. Siri. Siri requires you to say hey first. Let's just leave it. I mean, she never listens anyway, so
we can. I was going to say, how many reports do we have of Siri listening in when it wasn't supposed to?
Right, so Go-Gurt, Albuquerque, and Siri.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we've done that. Okay, so maybe we should also get to how we really define the Internet of Things.
Thangs.
Internet of Thangs. How do you define the Internet of Things?
Anything that's interoperable, anything that's connected to the Internet, anything that you can connect remotely, that you can schedule. I mean, really, it is such like a broad terminology in this day and age, but what we're going to be focusing on here is stuff that's interoperable, stuff that you can control with your voice, that you can control with a switch, whether it be through an app or maybe a physical switch. But the point is that it connects to the internet, and if your internet is out, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that happened to me yesterday. Actually, the internet was out, and we were just locked inside our house. I'm just kidding. We weren't. Okay, so I have also been thinking about this, and I have a law. Megan's Law of IoT.
Oh, I love it.
I decided.
Okay.
No device shall create more problems than the problems it is meant to fix.
You know, that's a really good one, and I can already tell you there's a lot of devices out there that don't follow that law, that are meant to be in this product category.
Yeah,
We're probably going to talk about them in the next 12
weeks. Like lights. Like, my husband got really frustrated at first because our light system that we had, you know, he couldn't use the switches like he wanted to use anymore. It created more problems. IoT stuff creates lots of security problems. You know, you might not want to use any of these devices because increasing the attack vector on your house might seem not worth any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, attack vector. That's a serious thing.
That is.
Yeah.
So that's my law. Another thing I figured out in this is that when something fails, and it will, for me, some device in my home, I have a dual band network, and if I switch usually my phone, which I'm connecting the device to, if I switch it to the 2.4 gigahertz device, then it usually works. So I don't really know why that is, but I know switching to 2.4 gigahertz usually fixes many of the problems. Do you know why that is?
Well, apparently 2.4 gigahertz, you know, it's less, it's not as fast, but it can work better at a farther distance. Sometimes you don't really need a lot of data to run something in your house that's internet connected. Whereas 5 gigs, it's better for closer, things that are closer but require more bandwidth. Or at least that's kind of where I figure it works. Because, for instance, sometimes you can't have a camera be on a 2.4 gigahertz network because it's not enough bandwidth.
Yeah, cameras will suck up the bandwidth a lot.
Oh, they absolutely will. That's actually a really good thing, is that if you bring a camera in your house, you've got to figure out what's going on in the apps, see how much bandwidth is being used. I know there are some apps out there that allow you to, you know, control that as you like through the settings, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So, but see, these are all little things that we have to consider when bringing this stuff into our home.
Right.
Which can maybe seem a little confusing for people who are new or even people who are seasoned veterans of this sort of thing. I mean, this is its own product category now. So
what do you say to people who are like, they're a tabula rasa, like a blank slate of the smart home, unlike me, which is like me. What I did first was I just bought all this stuff, some hubs, some stuff, and I just everything that looked good, I just bought it. And then I didn't really know.
What do we have over here?
That's an Aware. It's supposed to tell you your
air quality. It's spelled AWAIR, Aware. It is not spelled.
No. It's the air quality. We'll get to that probably, and if it's worth getting to, we'll get to it.
Also, that's worth mentioning, is a lot of these things are never spelled the way you think they should be.
No, exactly. This is a Lutron. This is the Casetta
Lutron's
wireless.
Lutron's a big one. It's actually it's good that you bring that up because Lutron has its own protocol.
Oh.
And this is good to bring up because protocol is a really big thing to sort of consider when you're thinking about starting the smart home. Because we've got Zigbee and Z-Wave, which are two dominant protocols that have come into the world of smartness, smart homes. So the difference really is that they're just different antennas.
And is, like, Amazon a protocol?
No.
Okay.
So when we talk about protocol, we talk about something as physical as a Wi-Fi network. So it kind of is its own little channel that the IoT can connect through so that it's not competing with, you know, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi in your house, which I'm sure is, like, all over the place. Things like the Philips Hue run on Zigbee, I believe. But annoyingly, if you buy a Philips Hue hub, it doesn't work interchangeably with other Zigbee things because it's proprietary.
Oh, well, that's confusing.
It is confusing. It is confusing, which is why you would want to get something like a smart hub.
Here.
Which I have to take out of the box, which we're going to take out of the box.
Oops. Okay. So that is a smart hub. Now, would you call HomeKit a smart a protocol? Is HomeKit a protocol?
Kind of.
Okay.
It kind of is. Okay. It's not the technical terminology of a protocol. But when you think about when they say something is HomeKit compatible, it means it's compatible with Siri and with doesn't the Apple TV have HomeKit built into it?
Yes.
So it kind of acts as a hub.
So you can use your Apple TV as a hub, you can use your HomePod as a hub, and you can use an iPad as a hub. Anything really?
I'll show you what this is as soon as I can open it.
Would you like Burke is offering
yes.
some scissors?
Yes. Let me get some scissors. Let me get a pen. Boop. Sorry about that. Okay, this is what I wanted to show you. So what we've got here is the Samsung SmartThings hub. It's got both Zigbee and Z-Wave protocols built in. On the back, you'll see that there's an Ethernet port. You plug that baby right in. You've got two USB ports right here. And then you've got your AC that plugs it into the power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nice thing about this is it can connect. It can act as a centralized hub for all your different smart things. So if you've got Philips Hue light bulbs, you could connect it to this hub through the Samsung SmartThings app instead of connecting it through the Philips Hue app. Actually, I take that back. You probably want to connect it through the Philips Hue. See, there's so many different ways to do these mm-hmm. things, which is why it can get really confusing.
Yeah.
The one thing about the SmartThings that's also great is it comes with its own devices that you can, so you can add like motion sensors and things of the sort, kind of like create your own home security system. There's also a version sold with ADT, which has proprietary sensors there too. This is one of the wire cutters picks, actually, for hub. The thing that's usually suggested, but the thing that is a bummer about this is that sometimes people don't want to use Samsung apps
right.
to deal with all of this stuff.
Could I use that on my iPhone or not?
You could. Okay. Absolutely. You could if you wanted to. If you don't want to, you could find another hub. Wink makes a hub that's also Zigbee and Z-Wave, and that works cross-platform as well. And then, as we mentioned, Lutron Casetta has got its own little stuff. The Nest also has its own protocol called Thread, Google Thread, and this was sort of created in tandem with Qualcomm. But it's so proprietary. So if you've got Nest devices in your house, if you've got like the Nest Secure or the Nest Guard security system, that has the protocol inside of it. So it can link up all the Nest devices and then they act nice and fast.
Okay, so
that's a TLDR.
But if you don't have really fast Wi-Fi, or you don't want to put so much pressure on your Wi-Fi, is a hub helpful in that sense?
Yes and no. It depends how much stuff you have in your home. I always say if you're going to do IoT, you should get a mesh Wi-Fi net, Wi-Fi network. You should go out and buy an Eero or buy a Google Wi-Fi. Those are two of the ones that are typically suggested.
Eero is a Twit sponsor.
Yep.
So do I need a hub? What would
you
your answer be?
Okay. You don't. So the nice thing about that Apple TV that you probably have at home is that acts as a hub for your Apple stuff. I have kind of a little system in my house where I don't really have a centralized hub except for the Philips Hue light bulbs have their own hubs, but I use the Google Home to sort of link everything together. So the Google Home app, which is what the Google Home relies on, is the one that sort of brings all of the different accounts. So I've got, you know, my Nest account and my LifeX account and my Philips Hue account and every other darn account that I have running in the house on there so that I can do it all through voice commands.
Okay, got it. So I don't need a hub.
You don't. You don't. And similarly, if you're in the Albuquerque way of things, right?
Albuquerque.
Actually, the Echo Plus is a hub.
Right.
It has Zigbee integration in it. So yes. You can actually pair Philips Hue bulbs right to it, for instance. And in fact, you'll see that as a set when you go to Amazon.com. They'll kind of sell it. You know, you can buy a bulb, get started with your smart home.
Yes. So. I have the Echo Plus. Amazon sent me one for review, and I haven't gotten it to figure out how to set up my Hue lights yet. So that's just a pain point for me. And it was like I had this old-fashioned Hue.
That's so old. I mean, I have the new one from – they're squares now, by the
way.
Yeah, so they no longer look like this.
Right, and this is Zigbee. And then I have also the new one that's supposed to work with HomeKit. And I have the Echo Plus. And it was just – I don't know if it was because I connected the Hue lights previously or what, but I just reset and started over. And then you get to the point where it's like, I have other things to do. I've got a life to live.
That's the annoyance, is you have to reset and start over when you're bringing like a hub into the house. You have to repair everything through that particular hub.
It's like a new puppy. Like when you bring a new puppy into your...
Yeah, you got to integrate it. You got to socialize it. You got to teach it where to go to the bathroom. Yeah. You have to build a routine around taking it out in the mornings and the evenings. Yep, yeah. It's very true.
Or a new kitten, let's say. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing, by the way. Routines are a common thing in the smart home. Many apps facilitate that. There's also a lot of third-party apps out there, which we will talk about. Also, cross-platform. So it doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android device. Sorry, Windows Phone users. What are you still doing using Windows Phone?
She said that, not
me. Ask yourselves.
I'm on your team.
great. Throw me under the bus, why don't you?
Okay, so do we have anything else to... Who should try to install this stuff by themselves, and who should get someone to install? Like, I know when you go to Amazon, it's like, here's how much it costs, and then here's how much it costs if you have someone come install it. Like, I've installed a lot of stuff, and I'm not that good at that sort of thing. But who do you think needs help, and who doesn't?
Anybody who's extremely anxious about starting this stuff and just doesn't like dealing with apps and connecting wires and, like Megan said, spending an entire afternoon trying to troubleshoot when something goes wrong. If you don't have the patience for that sort of thing, the good news is that a lot of these companies will offer help to come out to your house and install them. Both Nest and Amazon offer help. Amazon includes Ring as well, which is a sponsor here on the network. So it's kind of like a nice way to help you and to make you feel like you're not alone in this. And especially because when you think about it, the internet is the service when you think about it. You know, it's like the Best Buy Geek Squad, except instead of the Geek Squad, it's whatever the internet people have.
Yeah, and I have the Noon home system, the Noon lights, and you'll see that. And we had someone come and set it up because that involved like turning off the electricity and opening up and changing the outlet. And I'm sure a lot of you have done that, and I'm just not interested in that yet. Maybe by the end of this 12 weeks, I will. But yeah.
And so, if you have a problem, the customer service for these things are pretty great. Like when I'm reviewing devices, sometimes I will just, you know, I'll run into an issue and I'll immediately call customer service before I email PR because I have that privilege, you know, the journalist mm-hmm. PR privilege. I'll try to go through customer service, and you'll find that like a lot of times they're actually really, there's a reason they are paying people to, you know, operators are standing by sort of thing.
Right. Because they know you're going to have problems.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll waive the fees. Oh. If it's a really, like, difficult situation.
Yeah. And my dad uses the Ring doorbell, and something, I think something happened. It was like he's had it for a while. And I guess when he moved, something adjusted, and he just called them up and said, will you send me a new, I think a back plate or something. And they were like, sure, we'll send it to you. And they didn't charge him or anything. So they want you to be happy, most of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If they don't, then they're probably
not. They want you to be a repeat customer. Yeah. They want you to stay in this ecosystem. And that's the other thing that we're going to talk a lot about is the ecosystems the ecosystems that have evolved in this space. Mm-hmm. So, yep. I mean, are you a Google person? Are you an Apple person? Are you an Amazon person? Are you all over the place because mm-hmm. you're a rebel and you don't care?
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of all over the place. Do we have anything more to talk about before we show what we use in our own house?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So I have the advantage of being in the studio, working in the studio, and convincing Anthony to bring his camera to my house. So and then convincing Josh to edit it all together so it looks,
professional.
Yes, that's
right.
The word. It looks professional.
Professional.
So I guess we can roll that video of my smart house now. Welcome to the new season of Know How IoT. You're already a little way through, so hopefully you're enjoying what Flo and I are doing. This is your first tour of my smart home, or my smart crib, as I like to call it. Let's go. First, let's start in the car. I have a owl cam. We'll get to automotive stuff in a later episode, but just know that if you get near my car, you're being recorded. Oh, also, if you get near my house, you're also being recorded. This is the Nest Cam IQ. It recognizes my face, it recognizes my friends and my family's faces, it recognizes my dog, and it doesn't recognize strangers, so it will alert me if a stranger comes in my house. Welcome to the inside of my smart home. This is the Schlage Smart Lock, which happens to be the only device I have that works with HomeKit. So I could lock it like this. Boring. Or I could do this. Hey, lock the door.
I'm on it. Your front door is locked.
Or I could use the Home app on my watch. Pretty cool. Now we have these two cute little neighbors here, the Neato Smart Vacuum and the Yunmai Smart Scale. They're friends. The Smart Vacuum is very helpful because I set it usually on a schedule for the time when we're not here, and she just goes, her name is Betty. I don't know if I mentioned that. Her name is Betty. Or if I'm just standing here thinking, oh, gee, the floor looks so dirty, I can say, ask Neato to start cleaning.
Okay, starting Betty.
And there she goes. Isn't she amazing? Neato to stop cleaning.
Okay,
or I can ask her to pause cleaning. Stop cleaning means she's done and she's not going to restart. And pausing means she's just pausing. And she creates this whole map of the floor. So if you're going to keep going, I would suggest pause instead of stop. Okay, this is the Yunmai Smart Scale. I step on it. It's going to tell me my weight. I can't talk to this smart scale, but it does send my weight to the Yunmai app, and I can see if my weight is going up or going down or staying the same. Did I show you this camera that was recording you on the outside? This is the Yi camera, and it will follow, if it sees motion, it will follow you around. See? It's like one of those paintings where the eyes follow you around, except the eyes are really following you around and sending the video up into the cloud. This little baby is one of the many things I'm going to set up. This is a smart air conditioner, so I can use my voice to control it. It's the Hi Smart air connected window unit. Hi Sense, Hi Smart. Yeah, we'll get to that in a later episode. It's going to be a challenge, I think. All right, let's go into the kitchen area. This is one of the many brains of my smart home, the Echo Show, one of my favorite devices because it has a screen. And I can ask it, what's on my calendar today?
Today there are 4 events remaining. Huck's Outward Bound trip is in progress and lasts all day. Small Craft Camp is in progress and lasts all day.
I can also use it to make video calls with anyone I want, or to drop in on Jerry's office in Twit to find out what Jerry and Anthony are doing, which is always interesting.
I'm not that innocent.
Okay, now on to the most important smart gadget, my coffee maker. I love you. This is the Be More Smart Coffee Maker, which basically you can use this button to start the coffee, or you can set it on a schedule, or you can set it from your app. It doesn't have voice yet, which is fine. That button is very easy to press. This button is very easy to press. What I really like about this is I can start the coffee, go upstairs, do the stuff I need to do up there, and then it'll notify me on my watch when my coffee is ready. Let's move on to the lights. When we moved into this house, it had all of this recessed lighting. So when I thought I was going to do Hue lights or some other kind of smart bulbs, I added up the expense and it seemed really out of my budget. So luckily, I found the Noon Smart Home Lighting System. So this is also not cheap, but super useful and fun. And a great way to impress party guests. So this is basically the main place where you can turn off and on the lights if you don't want to use your voice or you don't want to use an app. So I can turn them all off, or I could turn them back on like a cave person, or I could just say, turn off all the lights. And it works every single time right away. Except it didn't. Let's try it again. Turn on all the lights. And then I can do things like turn off the living room lights. You can also create different scenes, dim if you like a certain lighting scheme for cocktail parties or other kinds of entertaining. You can set that up and then just ask her to play whatever scene you've named it. Noon, like I showed you, works with and it also works with Google Assistant. But it does not work with HomeKit yet. Here's our Sony TV, which is an Android TV that we have hooked up to an Apple TV, which can be confusing. Works with the Android TV, so I could say, turn on the TV. Turn off the TV.
Sorry, something went wrong.
So here's the Apple TV if I wanted to use that. Turn on the TV, please. There we go. And then if I wanted to go over to the Apple TV, I just hit the menu, and there it is. I love my Apple TV because I can...
Sorry, something went wrong.
Okay, we heard you the first time. Thank you. I can't use voice with the Android TV, but I can with the Apple TV, so I could say, open YouTube and watch the new screensavers.
Sorry, what device?
There we go, and I can see our friend Flo on the new screensavers. Stop.
Sorry, what device?
If you ever feel like throwing your smart devices just out the window, just know I too have been there. There's nothing a little unplug and plug back in will solve. You're always still in control. Know that. Ah, the HomePod. I really looked forward to this device, but the truth is, she just sort of sits over here gathering dust. Hey, stop! That was frightening. And I bet you're wondering how secure it is to have this device that unlocks my door right next to an open window. Well, let me show you. Say I was a criminal outside the window. Hey, unlock the front door.
I can't unlock secure accessories here.
See, Apple's thought of everything. Hey, play music. Hey, turn it all the way up.
That's very loud. Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Hey! Hey! Play the next song! This is my second Amazon voice service device. I have three upstairs. This is the Echo Plus, and the Plus means that it has a smart hub inside. And hopefully we already told you why you might need a smart hub and why you might not need a smart hub. Ideally, if you get this, you could just say, find my smart devices.
I couldn't find any new smart home devices.
I think what it's supposed to do is if you have smart bulbs anywhere or any other smart devices that aren't already connected and that are compatible with, then it would find them and hook them up for you. We also have Echoes in every room upstairs, mostly listening to music or setting alarms or listening to flash briefings. I'll show you those another day. And now here is what powers my smart home. First, really good Wi-Fi. I have a dual band network from Sonic. I love Sonic. There's my router, and my router is connected to a mesh network, the Eero. Eero is a Twit sponsor, and I love them. I have this main base, and then I have four Eero beacons spread all over the house, mostly upstairs, but also in the garage where the kids hang out and use a bunch of bandwidth. As we hopefully already explained to you, if you're going to not use a hub, you're gonna have to have really good Wi-Fi. So that's one reason you might not need a hub if you have something like Eero or another mesh network to connect all your devices to, so that you're not putting all of that pressure on your regular Wi-Fi network, especially all the streaming cameras. They take up a lot of bandwidth. I guess that is it. Everything else in my house is just dumb.
Who are you calling dumb?
Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again.
Hey, unlock the door.
The front door reports that it's already unlocked.
Well, that's handy. So, yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I'm gonna go now. Bye. Yeah. See you later. Hey, lock the door.
I'm on. Your front door is locked.
I can see you're still there. The Yee camera sees everything.
Wow. I just have to say that the struggle of pulling out the phone to make things stop blaring at you was one that I 110% relate to.
Yeah, because when you're playing loud music and you tell it to, sometimes it hears you. So, yeah, there's a lot of shouting at smart devices.
Yes.
That happens at my house.
I also have some smart things in the home. Now, they're not, my show and tell is not as dynamic as yours.
Megan. We're going, Anthony and I are going to go to
yes.
your house. And I get maybe you want your privacy. That has gone out
I mean,
the window
the
for me.
Truth, the honest truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that I'm in the middle of a lot of freelance projects right now. And there's just way too many boxes in my room for me to have Anthony over right now. But hopefully, toward the end of the season,
yes.
we'll be able to come over and do... But I did want to bring some pictures, you know, like mm-hmm. when you come back from vacation and you want to sort of give a little bit of preview of
Absolutely.
What you were up to while you were out. And so I figured, you know, I would give you a little walkthrough of my decidedly average smart home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wouldn't mind, our wonderful TD, who is Burke, on Know How this season. If you wouldn't mind starting at the first image, what we have here is a Google Photos slideshow of my home. And here is my precious Google Home Max.
I really like it. This goes nicely with the. It's nice with the succulent.
That is a fake succulent I bought at Home Goods for $10. And the reason I bring this up, ladies and gents, is because when you are bringing the smart home into your home, well, you've got to figure out how to decorate it with everything else. Mm-hmm. So yes, the Google Home Max, thankfully, is beautiful on its own. It is nice. Like a nice work of art. This is the Simply Safe base station. So this is one of the security systems that I have in my home. One of many, because I've been spending the last 6 months reviewing security systems for a client. Mm. Simply Safe is really nice because it has a great low introductory price for if you want to get started with the security in your home. It's not as quote-unquote smart and connected as some of the other security systems out there, but it does work with Albuquerque, as well as a couple of other like smart locks and things of the sort. So it's nice and affordable. So I do want to point out how roughed up my vacuum is. I've also got the same D3 connected Neato bot vac. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, can't use it with Google Assistant just yet. But the reason it's so roughed up is because do you know how many times that thing gets stuck underneath and over things? I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, mm-hmm. It's annoying, but it happens because it is so hardcore at going over things, yeah. As we saw earlier. And that's because it has some really amazing treads on the bottom. So the Neato BotVacs actually, they look like little monster trucks. You know, when you watch monster trucks go over hills and they kind of move, that's what it looks like with a Neato BotVac.
And I need to point out, this is the only thing we have in common. Like, both of us have this.
Unplanned. That's the thing that we have in common, unplanned. I like the Neato BotVac because it's D-shaped. Mm-hmm. And I actually have an additional Samsung vacuum at home. The name just completely escaped me. But I have a Samsung robot vac that's also D-shaped. And so I like the D-shaped robot vacuums because they can get in the corners,
yes,
a little bit better.
Yes, exactly.
I have a very dusty house with lots of litter in the corners that need to be cleaned.
And when it gets stuck, I'm being careful not to genderize her, because mine, as you heard, her name is Betty, and I used to call her, but I'll... Yeah.
Mine is Mama's Little Helper.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I call mine, Mama's Little Helper.
Yeah, so that's good.
Does
Mama's Little Helper notify you when she's stuck? When it's
stuck. Yes, it notifies me when it, help me, I'm stuck, it says in a notification, to which I'll go to yell out to my husband, can you go unstuck it? Because I'm not doing it. It's annoying.
Yeah. No, I have that, and I get a notification on my smartwatch, which is great if I'm home. If I'm not home and no one else is home, then it just gets stuck and that's it. But I can usually,
that
if my kids are
once.
Home.
I tried to clean the house while we were gone, and then I just was afraid it would chase the cat. So I stopped it, and when I returned home, it was just laying dead in the middle of the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a really good vacuum.
It is. And a nice thing about vacuums is they come in all shapes and sizes and all price points. So there's even some, like, lower-end vacuums out there that are just as good as this maybe more higher-end one.
Yeah. And there's a new version. I reached out to Neato to see if they'll send us that for review.
Yeah.
I don't know what the new one. Maybe it unsticks itself. Or my only issue is I can use it by voice, but I can't send it home, like, back to its docking station.
It's this particular model. So there's a couple of other, the Neato BotVac Connected, for instance, that's, like, completely connected. You can tell it when to go home and... things of the story. The Samsung vacuum, you can actually, it comes with a remote with controls on it. So if your phone isn't working, you've got a remote with IR Blaster. Mm. Old school.
All right, what's next after?
This is my lamp, my living room lamp, equipped with a Hue light bulb. I've got two Hue light bulbs downstairs, two Hue light bulbs upstairs, and then two Hue light bulbs in the back room where I work. And I really like them because, again, they're fully adjustable. I kind of just fell into Hue because that's where they sell them everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always on sale on Amazon. Kinja Deals is always telling me something's on sale. I also have a couple Lifex bulbs around the house, though, that are great. So, and we're going to get more on those when we get to our smart lighting episode in a couple of weeks. And that's a good one, so stay tuned for that one. That one has live demos. Also, I wanted to just present here a still life of the home of Flo. Now, this is the Google Home Mini upstairs in my bedroom. That box actually houses the game pads to my little... I have a little Raspberry Pi in the bedroom with all the old vintage games I like to play. You know, if you're sick, you want to play games. Mm-hmm. But I present that as a still life of just how commonplace these smart home things are in the home. I mean, literally, it's right next to cleaning supplies. Like, all these things are just integrated. They just live amongst things in my house, including my favorite wrinkle releaser, the Downy. I heartily endorse that, just personally. It's a great... It's a great. And this here, actually, I wanted to show off. There's a couple of third-party Google Assistant smart speakers out there. This is the JBL Link 10, I believe, if I remember the model number correctly. And this came out late last year. It came out with about four different models in the same family. It runs Google Assistant, but it also runs on battery, and it's waterproof. So if I want to have, like, a shower party, I can. I bring it in there with me, have some shower music.
Really? Like, it can go under the water?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But this here is in our guest room, which I am currently using as a meditation/work room.
Oh.
You know, the luxury of a spare room in California.
Right, that's
got
nice.
Multiple uses.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And this here is, last but not least, my favorite lamp in the house, which is the lamp in my bedroom, which I have it always on purple. And when it's migraine season, it's red, set to 10%.
Oh, that helps. The red light helps
with
migraines.
Yep, and then ice pack on the face.
Is it a smart ice pack?
No. Oh. No, but it is glittery. It is glittery. Because if you're going to have a migraine, might as well be fabulous when
right.
doing it. So.
Yes, exactly. And but, anyone who's creating a smart ice pack out there, shoot us a line. Because we'd like to test the internet-connected ice pack.
Yeah. And I bring the migraine up because that honestly it was the reason I entered the smart home.
Oh.
It's because my husband was bringing home red bulbs, which are great, but they were still too bright for me when I was dealing with like the incredible eye strain that comes. And so just like having the ability to talk too with your eyes closed, to just talk out loud, to have that that user interface available is awesome. Just from a wellness perspective, even if it is, you know, comes with its own set of.
Yeah. I think that is a really good example of Megan's Law of IoT. Because the problem is bigger. Like, that's a very big problem that you wanted to solve.
The house is too darn bright for me. I have a very sensitive head. After this, I'm going to go into darkness, you know, with these lights blaring on me. because I'm a sensitive artist.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear ya.
Yeah. But there's more smart stuff. I just didn't want to overload you yet. Okay. And, you know, eventually I will get rid of those boxes and we'll have Anthony come over and I can show you also my smart sprinklers.
Oh, that's...
Which, by the way, black widows love to hide in.
Oh, good to know.
So just be careful. They make homes out of everything. Everything that's possible.
All right. Well, we have got more for you. We've got a whole...
Really
we're going to lay out the whole season for you. We've got some more tips and tricks. But before we get to that, I wanted to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Ring, who we've already mentioned them a few times. My dad uses Ring. Jason Howell, Leo uses Ring. Ring is a smart doorbell, and they have smart lights and smart cameras. And it's now an entire system, and it's amazing. So let me tell you about Ring. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. The Ring video doorbell lets you see and speak to intruders just right there on your smartphone from anywhere. Even you can even share video clips with neighbors using the Ring app. So if you've got some suspicious neighbors and you want to see if your other neighbors also think they're suspicious, that's a good way to share. Or if you've spotted something of your neighbors and you want to share it with them, you can let them know. You can check out Ring's Twitter feed for clips of the Ring video doorbell in action. Here's one scenario, which I love, being, you know, originally from Texas. Cows never walked across my yard back then in West Houston, but if they did, I certainly would have liked to capture this video on my Ring video doorbell. That is the amazing thing about all of this smart stuff. Ring especially is very good at at capturing not only the scary stuff or, you know, maybe one of your kids sneaking out of the house or that stuff, but just funny stuff, like stuff you're going to want to save and remember. So Ring's video doorbell is one thing. The floodlight cam is another great tool from Ring. It's a motion-activated camera and a floodlight that connects to your phone. So whether you're home, inside, upstairs, downstairs, in the basement, or if you're on vacation, the high-visibility floodlights, HD video, and two-way audio lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property. You can also see and speak to visitors. You can even set off your alarm right from your phone. So you will immediately know what anything out there is. Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in home security. Thieves just can't hide with Ring. Monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit, which includes a Ring video doorbell and your choice of either one, two, or three floodlight cams. So depends on what you, how big your property is, how big you need to cover, you can choose. And you can connect your Ring video doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. So you can stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. And right now, you can save up to $150 off the Ring of Security kit. All you have to do is go to ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow and save up to $150. Just go to ring.com/knowhow. And we thank Ring for their support of Know How.
You know the funny thing about Ring?
No, what's the funny thing about Ring?
I have so many neighbors with Ring doorbells now.
You have your own Ring of Security.
I mean, we're a community.
Yeah. Right? It is really nice, I think. You know, when I was growing up, like, the idea of, like, putting a security cam in your house was just so beyond. You know, there was, like, old-fashioned nanny cams or whatever. But now it's just sort of part of how we live. And,
yeah,
I think it takes a little bit of getting used to, but I'm used to it.
You know, what my dad used to do when he would leave is he would leave a video camera out and pretend it was recording the entire time he was gone.
Yeah.
I believed him for a long time. I was really well-behaved.
That is almost the thing really with kids. Well-behaved. When it goes with kids, you don't necessarily need to record them. Just tell them they're being recorded.
Yeah.
That's a whole, we're going to get into that, the whole, like, surveillance state in your home and how you manage that.
Nanny state, as some might call it.
So we can talk about some of the other things. This I just set up, but it is actually one of my favorite and the cheapest. Leo's talked about this. I even talked about the original camera on the screensavers a couple weeks ago. This is the Wyze Pan Cam. So, it should, ideally, if it's still plugged in, move around when it sees
it was buzzing
motion.
Around
there it
while
goes.
We were chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And recording everything. So let me pick up. There,
oh,
there we go.
Hi. How are you?
So what I like about this is it's super cheap. It's only $29.99,
yeah.
And it's not like something that is...
it's not from, like, a scary company either.
It's not going to move around when it's like that, yeah. No, it's, I mean, they just have figured out how to manage the supply line so they can keep their cameras
cheap. Because sometimes you'll find those cheap cameras on Amazon that are, like, pretty affordable and they come with some questionable app.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get something that's, you know, it's been vetted.
Right. So this is, the original one just stayed still, but this one will pan and zoom. So, yeah, there's your hand. So I could make a recording.
Hi.
Yeah,
hello.
You are. I could record
How are
this.
You? Hello.
Or I could talk back to you.
Oh, yeah, talk to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's going to have a little bit of feedback, but...
Probably. Let's see.
I am watching you.
Ah, it's talking.
And you can pan manually, too. I'll stop talking. Stop.
It's important that we show this on Know How.
Yeah.
Because this is the real world. Stuff just messes up sometimes.
That is the only item so far. I have a couple of other things that I'm going to set up, like the air conditioner that I showed you. You put me in touch with them.
I'm so jealous you have the air conditioning. Because while you're going to set that up, what I'm going to do this summer is set up my air conditioning unit with a smart plug that does energy monitoring. Because I bought one last year, but I went on smart to save some money, right?
Yeah.
But I needed to cool down the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we needed the air filtration because of forest fires, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Do you think the smart plug is going to be strong enough for an air conditioning? Because the air conditioners use a lot of power.
It should. Okay. It should have enough voltage.
Okay, good.
Wattage, voltage. I always get those two things mixed up.
Our mutual friend Micah Sargent really likes the Eve stuff. Have you ever set up any of the Eve stuff? I think it's mostly HomeKit.
And
Elgato.
You know, Elgato and Apple users, I know Elgato has a long history of advertising to you guys.
we've left you out.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, there's something to mention is that, you know, when you're buying into an ecosystem of stuff, like you'll see a particular subset of things being marketed toward a subset of users. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're a Google user, I'm told to use a lot of Nest products mm-hmm. because, you know, it works with this. And if you're an Amazon user, you're told to use a lot of Ring products mm-hmm. because, you know, it integrates nicely. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Okay, well, what else? What are some other devices available out there that we haven't talked about yet?
One particular company that I love is TP-Link. I mean, we all know TP-Link from network routers, and they also make smart stuff. So one of the outlets that I'm going to try this summer is a TP-Link energy monitoring outlet. They've also got bulbs, and they've got a lot of stuff. Just go on Amazon. Amazon.com, TP-Link, smart stuff, and you'll find it. TP-Link's also a really good brand.
Awesome. And so where do you recommend that people start shopping? Like, a lot of this stuff, obviously, are review units that we've been sent. So where is, when you buy your own stuff, like, where do you start shopping for that stuff?
Best Buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It sounds weird and antiquated, and we don't tell people to do the brick and mortar anymore. But when you go to Amazon, it can be really dangerous to buy off of there because what will happen is sellers will bundle in a lot of keywords for the thing that you're looking. So maybe it says Google Assistant and all this other stuff because that's what you're looking for. And maybe you're not buying the right thing. Or maybe it's coming from a third-party seller that isn't selling the genuine thing. And so I like to start with Best Buy. I like to start with the actual brick-and-mortar. You can walk in. You can touch these things. You can read the back of the box. You can see the packaging. Best Buy will put these things in family of devices. So, and now when you walk in, I've actually, since I started covering the smart home, I've been going to Best Buy more often just to kind of, like, check out how they're setting everything up. And once you walk in, you'll notice there's, like, kiosks. There's or whatever it's called, where they have displays just on smart things. That's where you'll find Philips Hue bulbs, you'll find LifeX bulbs, you'll find, you know, smart plugs. You'll definitely see plenty of Google Homes and Echoes.
What about Target? I always see a lot of stuff.
Target's there. Good, but, you know, Target is busy. Mm-hmm. It's a busy place. You got to go into Target for other things, too. You can't just go in for tech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to find yourself buying a lot of, I don't know, what, masks.
Stationery sets on clearance and candles.
Oh.
Maybe expiring produce, you know, if it's on sale.
Yeah.
You know, in households, we gotta save money where we can.
It's funny that you brought that up with the bundling keywords, because I find, like, now everything is Albuquerque controlled. I don't know, just rolls off the tongue, Albuquerque. But that, it doesn't always need to be. Like, Acer sent us this.
Oh, yeah. I saw this behemoth at CES.
It is the Acer Smart Projector controlled with Alexa. And it is an amazing projector. It has all the lumens or whatever it is that you need.
A million DPIs.
Yeah, it has whatever DPIs, lumens, whatever it is to make a beautiful picture. But then it's like, oh, and then you can turn it. You can't really do that much with Albuquerque. You can turn it on. You can turn it off. It's not, you know, and it's just kind of another thing where it's just sort of an add-on that they're, you know, trying to up. It's like an upsell sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of just like an API, right?
You just
pump it in and
right.
There you go. Talk to it.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
You don't need everything.
Ooh,
smart. Some things. Yeah, exactly. I knew there would be some singing.
Oh, yeah, with me?
So let's go through the next 11 weeks, I guess. We only have 11 more weeks left.
We only have 11 more weeks. There's a lot more coming up.
Yeah, so we have next week. I'm very excited. Next week is IoT security. We thought we would get ready.
We have a guest next week.
We do.
We are going to have guests.
Mm-hmm. We are.
It's not going to be just us.
Yes, so we should have mentioned that.
The upsets you about the other people.
We're very excited that Stacey Higginbotham is coming to next week.
Yes.
She'll be right here joining us from the screen.
Virtual head.
Yes. To
next best thing.
Yes. Tell us about her experience with IoT security. She's, of course, the expert out there. And I'm really excited to talk to her. And she's going to show us what she uses in her smart home as well.
Oh, my gosh. And I can't wait to learn more about, like, securing the smart home, things you can do, because I know that's, like, a big... That's a big question when we were talking about doing the show, that was a question we got from a lot of people online and through emails. Can you talk about security? And so we figured we'd delve into that immediately before we get to all the other fun stuff.
Right. And then week three, smart lights and smart plugs.
And there's going to be a lot of show and tell. So lots of demos.
And by that time, I will have at least one Hue light working in my home.
You will.
I will.
You will. Okay. I believe in you.
And then week four, smart assistants.
Yep. We're going to talk about the differences between Albuquerque, Go-Gurt, and Siri.
Go-Gurt. I don't know. Do you think that, like, it's free advertising is Go-Gurt? Like, because it's a brand name. Do you think we'll get sued?
I mean, I've been testing Oreos and all that.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Go-Gurt is really fun to say.
It is. And they sell it in bulk at Costco. Yes, still. Exactly. After all these years.
Yeah. Week five. IoT for the enterprise.
I know.
Retail, healthcare, industrial supply chain, all the stuff. I don't know.
We're going to delve into
it. Yeah, we are.
Because you got to know about security cameras, things like that. Maybe you want to bring this stuff into your small business, for instance. Like, that's pretty enterprise-y.
Yes.
So we'll talk about it from there.
And if you have an expert in mind who is an expert in IoT for the enterprise, Megan at twit.tv. Shoot me that. If you're an expert in IoT for the enterprise, Megan at twit.tv. And then week six, home security.
Yes, and all those months of testing I did with DIY security systems will finally come here and actually talk about it, and security cameras as well. So I think between the two of us, we've got a lot of surveillance going around.
We really do.
I
don't know how much my family's going to put up with the surveillance.
My husband's already given up, and I think the cat has as well.
Yeah, the dog, I like being able, that's the best part. Like, I don't really necessarily, like, need to see my kids during the day to see what they're doing, but being able to see what the dog's doing, I like that.
I like to put on classical music for my cat every day at the same time. My cat sitter thought that was interesting.
Oh.
While we were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there classical music playing? Yeah. It's for Gabriella. I'd like to edify her.
Another idea, we could name our smart devices after our pets. Do you have one cat or more than one?
I have one cat. Gabriella.
And Gilbert.
Oh.
That's another. We're going to put that in the, Gabriella and Gilbert. But we would be who? I don't know. But that's, Gabriella is a girl.
Yes.
So then that might be genderizing them. Well, we'll see. And you have some really good advice on smart alarms, like you have to register them and stuff like that.
Yes. I have paid many a fee to my city and county.
I didn't even know.
Register. We're just going to tell you right now. Register your security alarms. If you are going to bring one of these things into your home before you get to our episode, go to your city and county and make sure that you have to get a license. Make sure you pay that license. And then I'll tell you what happens if you don't. We'll get to that. So we'll keep you. Can't give it all away in the first episode.
No. Week seven, transportation.
Yep.
Cars.
Yep. Inside the car. In fact, I was actually a little jealous. You have some car stuff.
I don't have any,
besides Android Auto.
Yeah, I have several dash cams. No privacy in the car. And, I need to get some more.
And no privacy stuff in the car.
No. But we'll talk about, like, legal stuff, too, because I think it's, in some states, still illegal to be recording people, like, in the car.
It is in the state of California, without saying it.
Letting them know. So we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Week eight, medical and health care.
Yes.
So, that'll be interesting. There's lots of IoT devices for healthcare these days, some better than others.
Yeah, but not only that, but also inner health, at-home health.
Right. Yeah, we both have tried the little thing you wear around
your head.
I'm
still using the Muse headband.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's good.
It really helps.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe we should do a live demo.
Yeah.
In the air.
Yeah. Because there's nothing better than a live demo of someone meditating.
I mean, I've been practicing, so I feel like We'll see how well my skills are coming.
Week 9, interoperability, mm-hmm. or fragmentation frustration.
Which I know a lot about, being an Android user for such a long time.
Yeah. And as you saw, like, the only device that works with HomeKit in my house is my lock. There, I haven't been able to get anything else to work.
I think I have more HomeKit-compatible devices than you do, by the way, in my house. Just to put that
yeah,
there.
That's wrong.
It happens. Week 10, we're going to talk all about the smart home. Everything. We're talking IFTTT, how it works all together, music, TV. This is something that is particularly near and dear to my heart, as IFTTT is one of my pastimes, really. I've programmed all sorts of things. I've programmed mantras into my Google Home.
Oh.
You know, I've programmed routines between my Chromecast and my Philips Hue light bulbs. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover in that realm between the both of us.
Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to do week 11? I said them all. I was stealing them.
Well, week 11 is going to be the fun Android versus iOS. So if you've got an Android, if you're an Android user, or if you're an Apple user, Google user, I guess. If you're a Google user or an Apple user, where should you go? Should you bring Amazon into your home? That kind of thing. So a little, kind of a part deux of the interoperability
mm-hmm.
conversation.
And then week 12.
And then week 12.
The thangies.
The thangies.
So, yes. Yeah, we've been calling it the Internet of Thangs, just because.
Thangs.
So, yeah, week 12 is going to be our favorite Internet of Thangs products.
We're going to get dressed up.
Yes.
We're going to give awards to our favorite products. And that's kind of also a way to help you usher in, because we'll be finishing around, I want to say, winter time when this is being recorded.
Yeah.
Or when this is originally being recorded. So we want to send you off into the holiday season, kind of knowing what you should buy if you want to buy anything from particular categories. We'll be lumping in review scores from some of our favorite sites, including, mm-hmm. you know, we've got the Wirecutter and PC Mag and lots of other sites out there mm-hmm. that have done a lot of work in this realm.
Yes.
Including us.
Yeah.
We have a lot of experience with this stuff.
Right. We do, and we will have even more. So, yeah, I'm very excited about the thangies.
Me too. Me too.
Yes. So hopefully maybe your product will win a thangy. All right. Also, the other thing that we're going to do at the end of every show is we want the weird stuff. Too. Like, you know, the like Juicero, like the internet connected juicer, or we want to talk about just the weirdest stuff. So send us that.
Yes.
Megan@twit.tv. Send me your weirdest IoT stuff, either the stuff that you have in your house or the stuff you see online. If you have it, I want to see a video of it, because this is just sort of is this for real kind of thing? Like, does this work? Is it? Because some of this weird stuff is good.
I'm finding some very weird stuff too on Amazon. I know I said not to go on Amazon, but I did go on Amazon and I did the keyword search and I found some very interesting assistant connected devices. So unfortunately, one of them was supposed to be here today, but next time
yeah.
we'll show you. And then we'll talk about the security implications of said device.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil it just yet. We got to keep you on your toes.
So I guess this is it for our first episode. I think that we did it.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C. Oh, wait.
No.
IOT. Copyright. We can't do it. IOT. S-M-A-R-T.
Okay, so send us emails, Megan@twit.tv.
Or send me a tweet at yes. OhThatFlow.
Yes, we'll put one of our Twitter accounts. We'll have the poll to vote for Albuquerque or Go-Gurt or Gabriella or Gilbert
mm-hmm.
or Sam and Alex, which is not
yes.
as interesting to me anymore. But yeah, send it to us. And also, I just wanted to thank Padre for all the hard work that he did on this show for so many years and handed it off to us. And for all the people that have thought, well, you know, I'm going to miss him so much. And he's been very kind to remind all those people on Twitter that that we're going to be fine and that you guys are going to enjoy us too. So maybe you will and maybe you won't. Maybe new people will be watching. But thank you, Padre.
We do have quite the robes to fill.
We do.
We
do.
Have the robes.
We have the
robes to fill.
Yeah, we really do.
But, you know, we'll do our best. Mm-hmm. And overall, the objective of these next 12 weeks is to ensure that you feel empowered of bringing this stuff into your home, whether you're new to this world or you're an experienced expert, because it is a new product category and there are a lot of commercials and advertisements out there and there's a lot of stuff to buy. And Megan and I have been buying our way through that. We've been learning this stuff for the last year or so, mm-hmm. just kind of figuring out. I mean, I'm extremely impressed at your smart home.
Thank you.
I'm just like... That was great.
Well, it was a lot of last minute stuff because I was like, oh, yeah, and I have this, and this is smart. Oh, and this is smart.
Yep.
And I just hadn't even realized it was all there. And, you know, I want to thank Anthony for doing all the videography on that and Josh for doing the amazing editing job. He had actually never seen the show MTV Cribs, so he watched a couple episodes to get the hang of what that
Please
show was all about.
Please tell me to own the Mariah episode.
I can't say which.
If you have to watch MTV Cribs, just YouTube the Mariah episode. It's all you need to know about MTV Cribs. Or Beyonce, or Destiny's Child, I mean.
Oh, that's
they used to live together in one house. Relics of the 90s.
Yeah, really. If you have a smart home and you want to give us a tour of, we might play some of those. We could even play some of your smart home tour. So if you want to send a video, put it up on YouTube and send the link to Megan at twit.tv or send the link to either one of us on Twitter. We want to see the inside of your house.
We want to see your home.
And, you know, if you don't want to show it on air and you just want to show it to us, let us know that too. And if you do show it and it shows private stuff, we can blur that out.
Yeah. Blurring is easy. It's literally just a filter in Photoshop. Mm-hmm.
And we have one more person to thank at the helm over there. Do you have a camera on yourself, Burke? Or a microphone? No. No.
The quiet provider of our technicality.
Yes. Thank you, Burke. Thank you.
Thank you, Burke.
He said you're welcome if you didn't hear him. And, of course, thank you. Thank you for watching.
Thank you
for watching all the way to the end.
Thank you.
Yeah, subscribe to the show.
Like and subscribe.
Yes. What she said. Right here.
Right here.
Wherever
here,
it is.
And here.
twit.tv/KH. That's how you can subscribe. And you can see all of the past. If you're new and you haven't seen all the stuff that Padre and Brian and everyone else who's done this show has done, then check that out. You can also join. Did you know we had a Google Plus group?
Yes.
Okay, good. Are you part of the, you're joined in the Google Plus? Well, if you haven't, you will be by the time you see this. That's gplus.to/twitkh. Or probably just look for Know How.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Megan Maroney on Twitter.
And I am Oh That Flow. You can also visit me at florentine.com if you want to know what I do for a living, which is I just write about all this stuff.
Yes.
It's really what it is. I just write.
Yeah, you obviously, she has great freelance, so check that out. Yeah, see that at her site. And I guess that's it. So I feel like we should cheers smart devices of some kind.
All right, I'm going to take my hub.
Okay.
And
cheers
to Zigbee.
Cheers.
Oh, that's a hub flask. That's what we need. That's the next thing.